Everybody wants to know what I would do if I didn't win.
Here comes Aaron Gordon the other way. Gordon! Oh my goodness! Oh!
Circus shot. They will count it. Jamal Murray taking him to the schoolyard.
Jokic has to put it up. Falling away, puts it up.
Bang! Nikola Jokic knocks it. It's over. After 47 years, the Denver Nuggets can finally call themselves NBA champions.
Y'all want to do it again? Let's do this. Let's do this. Dynasty.
I guess we'll never know.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Denver Stiff Show. It is your hosts, Zach Mikosh and Gordon Gross, back with you again for another episode of the Denver Stiff Show. Another week of wins. Gordon, you called it last week. You said Denver Nuggets 3-0 this week. Let's go. They do indeed go 3-0. On the week.
I love those weeks, man. I love those weeks.
They've been on quite a roll. When you think about it, the only two losses that they've had post All-Star break have both been, I mean, pretty fluky, right? The Phoenix game they lost in overtime. The Dallas game, of course, they lose at the buzzer. Pretty dominant
run. And they still
run.
Gave both of those away.
Right.
Like, that's the thing, is the Phoenix game, they gave up like a 22-1 run, and they still took it to overtime. Like, there were things in both of those games where the Nuggets could be unbeaten since the All-Star break with, like, a couple of different shots. There are two shots from being unbeaten since the break.
Or just, you know, don't play like garbage in the third quarter and that'll...
Yeah, right, yeah, I just decided to play a whole quarter. Even half a quarter. Just play half.
Just half a quarter. Half of the third. That's all we need. That came up again in that Portland game. It was that third quarter once again. It was the bugaboo. It was – I mean, I don't know. I really don't take much from the Portland game. Obviously, Jokic and Murray don't play. Basically, Portland started five rookies. It was just a game of basketball that was played that ends up getting counted on the record. But I don't think you read too much into it other than maybe – you know, Reggie Jackson and Christian Brown both had nice games. And Malone made a comment in the post-game press conference where he said, you know, I know that Reggie and CB are going to be in my playoff rotation, and that's about the only two guys that I know off the bench that are in that rotation, which I thought that was interesting. Obviously, that's basically, I think, calling out, you know, Peyton Watson there a little bit, probably because once again in the Portland game they at times struggled with rebounding, right? That continues to be a bugaboo for the Nuggets, and maybe that's where kind of Malone's trying to figure out is like who's going to give me some rebounds off of that bench, and that whoever can do that is going to end up being that eighth man in the rotation.
Yeah, but the problem that you run into, right, is that they don't really have a rebounder off the bench. Najee's not a rebounder. Like, he can't put his hands together and catch a basketball.
No, your best rebounder off the bench is DeAndre Jordan, like, hands down.
Yes. But again, the problem is you can't run a switching defense with DeAndre Jordan.
Nope.
So, like, your whole scheme that you've been trying to run, you definitely can't run one with Reggie Jackson and DeAndre Jordan both on the court at the same time. So, if you're trying to run the defense that you've been planning on running for the last 60 games, that involves Aaron Gordon being your backup five. So if he's your backup five, you need some kind of rebounder. And that's going to have to be MPJ because he's the only guy you've got who's a rebounder. So then Peyton Watson needs to hustle. He needs to dunk. He needs to block shots. He needs to, like, you know, match up with his man. And Watson was getting lost against some very inferior competition. No offense to the Trailblazers, but the Trailblazers should not be able to put a run together against the Nuggets. The Nuggets had to work way too hard in that game.
Right.
Aaron Gordon, like, was dying on the floor, giving everything to, like, eke out this victory. There's no reason the Nuggets had to work that hard. I don't care who was on the court for the Nuggets.
Yeah,
they should have... Yeah.
I would say there was nobody on the court for Portland, right? Like it was, it would be one thing. It would be one thing if like poor, if Jeremy Grant and DeAndre Ayton and Malcolm Brogdon were out there, but like, no, those guys were playing. Matisse Thybulle was out. What else is his name? What's his name was out? The other, their other guard. Why am I, why is his name? Anthony Simons. Yeah. Golly. I don't know why his name was escaping me. He was out.
Well, and that's the guy that I expected to murder us. When he was out, I was like, great.
Right.
This is perfect.
Right. So, I mean, it was, you know, basically it was on, like, you're basically relying on Scoot Henderson to have a good game. That's a dicey proposition.
That hasn't happened yet.
Right. Right. To say the least. So, yeah, I mean, it was a game that you absolutely, you should, even without Jokic and Murray, like, you should be able to blow that team out behind the, on the backs of, your other three starters. Of course, Michael Porter Jr., though, really struggled. He had a good second half, really struggled in that first half, didn't
get the
score.
Ball in the first half, though.
Right.
This is another one of those things that pisses me off when he gets like three shots, four shots and a half, you know, and he's the first option and the second option for Denver's normal offense aren't out there.
Right.
Why is he not getting the ball? Like, how is this, you know, there were times in the second half where he would just go stand in the corner like it was 2021.
Right.
Like, he's like, you know, what am I going to do? Like, y'all aren't giving me the ball. So these are those situations where I worry about Reggie Jackson and the fact that he seems incapable of throwing the ball to MPJ because he would much rather dribble out 10 or 12 seconds of clock and heave a three or a 20-foot jumper. And sometimes he makes them. Sometimes, I mean, you know, he's Reggie Jackson.
I mean, Reggie had a good game for sure against Portland. I think, you know, Reggie also, when DeAndre's out there with Reggie, like, they get a little obsessed there with that two-man game, right? With the just run and pick and roll with Reggie and DeAndre. And then also I thought like there was obviously a pretty big focus to try and get Aaron Gordon the ball and let him do some work, try and kind of overpower Portland, which was a fine strategy. I mean, Portland didn't have a lot of size to that game, and Gordon ended up having himself a really good game. So, you know,
it was a better game if they called some fouls. Yeah,
for sure. But I was with you. I thought it was interesting. Yeah, that Michael Porter Jr. here is the guy you expect who's been playing great, right? Who's been shooting lights out. Like you would expect him to be the guy that ends up being the main focal point of the offense. And it really wasn't. Even in the second half when he scored, you know, it wasn't like they were consistently feeding him the ball. Time and again, he was just kind of getting some shots up within the flow of things. So that was, you know, but that's like you said. I mean, this has been the Nuggets thing, like for Michael Porter Jr.'s entire career. Like they've never figured out how to fully maximize his scoring ability. It's just not because he's always going to be third fiddle to Jokic and Murray. Like they're never going to focus on it that much. And so I get like when you get then suddenly a game. You know, just the game in the middle of the week where suddenly now he's your top guy. Like, it's hard for them. It's hard to adjust to that, to like making suddenly a wing player who isn't necessarily like the best off the, you know, or the best off the dribble, you know, like that's like not.
Yeah, he's not an on ball guy.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So now you're trying to figure out like how to create an offense for him to get him a bunch of looks, to get him, you know, more looks than anybody else. And like, that's what I say. Like, I feel like they just got.
Don't usually play for him.
Right. That's why they got it.
Yeah.
They got into Jackson and Jordan got into what was comfortable with them. And then Aaron Gordon did a lot of, he did do a lot of on ball, you know, scoring. That was, kind of where he was getting, making his money in that game. So, you know, it's hard to read too much into any of it. Honestly, I would have liked to see Michael Porter Jr. get more opportunities, but at the same time, like, whatever. It's, if he has a bad night against the busted up Trailblazers team, that the Nuggets still come out with a victory and he goes back to scoring 20 plus a night with Jokic and Murray, like, that's fine. I'll take it.
It's fine. And this is, like you said, this is a recurring theme of the season, though, where if it's MPJ is the only one of the big three or like the main scorer who's going to be out there, he doesn't usually get his shots up. He gets his shots up in the flow of the offense when Jokic and Murray just both start feeding him.
Right.
And if that doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. So I get why it wouldn't happen with Reggie, like you said. It's not normally a combo they have, and they don't have a lot of plays that they would necessarily be able to call that anybody who's on the court, because they're all bench players, would have to run with Michael Porter Jr. Like, those guys don't have a guy like MPJ on the bench. It's not like he can have the Julian Strother role off the bench that those guys are used to giving to a shooter, because since Strother hurt his knee, like, that's not a replicable part of the bench rotation either.
Right.
The bench doesn't have a give it to the shooter, you know, option. They haven't been practicing that because Strother's been out. So, you know, my hope for the year was that the bench and the starters were going to be set up kind of similarly, you know, and then when AG is the center, then you would have, you know, you'd have Strother would be in the MPJ role on the bench, and he would be running those actions. You know, you'd have KCP's role would be filled by Christian Brown, you know, and then AG, they want AG's role to be filled by Peyton Watson, but he's just not strong enough at this point.
Right.
To do AG sort of stuff. So that's what they have to figure out with Watson, is that he's a valuable defender, but he is not a duplicate or a replacement for what Aaron Gordon does, and he can't be. He doesn't have the he's not man enough. I don't know how to, like, he doesn't have the broad shoulders, you know, to go ahead and muscle out dudes. You know, he has been skinny, and he's got the blocks, and he's got the weak side help, and he's a wing defender, but he's not your guy to go in among the trees and out rebound those dudes.
Right.
So they're gonna have to figure out how to let him be impactful off the bench. And they've only got 10 more games to figure that out. So, like, I just expect for him it's a matter of energy and effort. And then if Malone sees enough of that, then that's fine. He's your guy. Because otherwise you're going to go with Holiday. And, you know, that's fine too. But he doesn't have some of the defensive abilities that Peyton Watson has.
Yeah, I think, you know, Holiday gives you he gives you more consistency with the shooting, which is nice. That's something that Peyton has certainly struggled with. I don't think Holiday, though, improves your ability to rebound certainly at all. I don't know. I think you lose, you know, not to say that Justin Holiday is not a quality defender. I think he is. But you do still, I think, lose something on defense when you downgrade a Holiday to Watson. So
he's not blocking Kawhi shots multiple times on the same possession. Like, right, that's not a thing he's going to be doing.
Exactly. Yeah, he's not going to play lockdown perimeter defense. Like, he's not, you know, Peyton Watson is probably the best all-around defender on the team. So, like, you've got to, you know, I guess him or KCP, but you've got to find...
It's KCP, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got to find a way to get him in there, but... because you can't get that out of Zeke Nagy either. And I don't think Zeke Nagy really solves your rebounding issue. So it comes down to, like, that's just what you need out of Peyton Watson. Like, it's fine if he isn't gonna do the bully ball type of stuff that Aaron Gordon gives you. Like, you don't need that. You just need him to be able to get some rebounds. And, you know, some of it is, I think, you know, strength and Peyton's build, but also, like, you just got to box people out better. Like, that, it comes down to that. Like, put your body on somebody, you know, like, there's way too much of that with him and Zeke both. Like, they're both very too much ball watching shot goes up. Yep.
Brown does it too. Like, they ball watch instead of, like, what I like about Christian Brown is that he is good with the starters at not doing that. But when he's with just the bench, all the bench guys together tend to ball watch together, and that's a very bad recipe.
Right.
And the problem is, like, Watson is what, 2 for March in 3-point makes?
Yeah, exactly. It's been bad.
Like, so it's been very, very bad. So if you're not going to stretch the floor and you're not going to grab rebounds, then you had better be the greatest hustle defender we ever seen. And that's where Peyton's been a little tentative. Whereas I really liked the game from Christian Brown in this last game. He was, like you said, Reggie was good. I thought Reggie was all right.
Right.
I thought Christian Brown was excellent.
Christian Brown was very good. He's been very good now for a couple of games. He's getting back to getting away from, you know, being afraid of getting his shot blocked or trying to do too much when he's attacking the rim and just flat out attacking the rim. And that's worked well for him. He's been able to get, he's finishing, is so much better here post All-Star break than where it was at earlier in the season. And that's really what was holding him back, because Christian was still giving you the good defense. He still can't hit the three in the corner, which is fine. Like, you know, you're just gonna have to learn to live with that, I guess. But, you know, he's, once he added that ability to get downhill and finish at the rim again, that changes his offense so much and makes him a guy that you feel like, yeah, I can get a lot of what we're going to be, a lot of what Bruce Brown was giving us in the playoffs. Like, that's what Bruce Brown was giving you, was that ability to be like, hey, we're struggling to score, like they were, you know, against that Portland game when you had a lot of times you had lineups that were out there, like Christian Brown was the scorer because of, you know, who they had in terms of personnel that night. And he would put the ball on the floor, get to the rim and finish. And that, you know, that's what Bruce would do for them, when the bench would get stuck in the playoffs last season. Yep. If they can get that out of Christian, then like, yeah, then he's, I got no concerns about him, whatsoever, which is crazy to say.
Well, the great thing about Christian though, he blew three or four finishes in this game,
yeah,
but he didn't stop taking them.
Right.
Like the thing that he may have picked up from Justin Holiday, like Justin Holiday had a game a while back where he was just banging threes off the rim and the backboard and couldn't make anything, but he wasn't afraid to take it. It was the right shot to take and he took it. And Christian at some point since the All-Star break has been like, look, if the shot is there, it's my duty to take the shot. It's not my duty to be like, well, I don't feel comfortable, I should pass this out with 3 seconds on the clock. Nah, it's your shot, you take it. And he's decided to do that, and I think it's worked wonders for his downhill mentality to get that Bruce Brown style of, you have to have a short memory, right?
Right.
Like if you're going for the rim and it doesn't work out, you can't just next time be like, well, I'm just going to hang out at the three-point line. No. If the drive is there, you take the drive. And he's been doing that. So I was glad to see that.
Yeah, it's been a revelation, which is like I said, something they need. They've got 10 games left. So you gotta gotta live with what you're gonna get out of these guys moving forward. Speaking of that, you only have 10 games left. You know, Jokic misses this game for back soreness. That's kind of been something he's dealt with all season. Obviously,
if this had
been a playoff game or even a game of, if this hadn't been a one game road trip to Portland, who's just trying to get to the end of the season, Jokic probably plays, right? Murray, yep. I don't know, you know, Murray's as tough as they come, and he's a guy who plays through pain a lot, but he did have a pretty good ankle turn there. At the end of that Knicks game. So, like, I don't know necessarily where he's at. Do you, because it's so close, like, should they be concerned maybe a little bit about, health, whether it's Jamal or Joker?
Well, this is where you start to come down to, does seeding matter more or does health matter more, right?
Right. It's true.
Like, you know, if you – like the Nuggets were two shots from losing the Portland game because they rested both guys. And if it was a playoff game, like you said, both guys would have played. So the Nuggets took the point of view that we should win this game without them. But if we don't, because we took it off, like at least we're getting them healthy. So the Nuggets are already saying it is more important to us to be healthy than it is to necessarily go for the top seed over everything. So for me, I personally would be more cautious with Murray than with Jokic. Jokic beat up, still plays amazing. Murray plays better hurt, but like you can't have him injured when the playoffs come around. He tweaked his foot. If you want to give him the night off against Memphis, I would understand that.
Right.
Like, and if the fact that he turned his ankle is the reason you can talk him into it, then maybe that's for your benefit. Give him some fresher legs. You know, it's not just about the ankle. It's also about how your legs holding up. Let's keep you with fresh legs going to the end of the season. So, if the Nuggets lose, like they play the Timberwolves two more times, right? The 29th and I think the 10th of April.
Yep, sounds right.
But I think both of those are in Denver. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we're done in Minnesota, so only in Denver now.
Right, and one of them is a back to back. I believe the 29th one is a back to back for Minnesota, not for the Nuggets.
Right.
So you're going to try to grind that out. You want that one. If you don't get it, then you start looking at, you know, what if we're going to wind up in the 3 seed rather than, you know, the 1 seed. you know, if something happens, if we lose to the Clippers also or something, how, what kind of rest can we get in the last couple weeks of the season?
Right.
You know, then you don't need the Timberwolves game. And you don't have to show the Timberwolves your hand of how you want to beat them in the playoffs either.
Right.
Like, this is one of those things where the Nuggets should prioritize health. If they, if it looks like you're going to be locked into a three, then just take it. Like, is it, there's no.
Yeah, but I mean, Oklahoma City loses tonight, so the Nuggets.
Yeah, the Nuggets are in first
right now. In first place. You know, granted, basically tied with Oklahoma City on the loss column. So, and OKC has the tiebreaker. So, yeah, and only one up on Minnesota. Right.
Right.
But Minnesota, you can still. Also has the tiebreaker. No, they don't. Yeah, you can still get the tiebreaker against Minnesota. You just got to win both games. And then you'll you'll end up.
You cannot get the tiebreaker. Because the second tiebreaker is conference record. It, the Timberwolves have that.
No, the first tiebreaker is head-to-head record, though, and the Nuggets would be up.
Well, they can only tie.
No, they won against Minnesota last time in Minnesota.
Oh, no. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, they'd be 3-1. So,
right, yeah, yes.
Right.
Correct. That's what I, yeah, that's what I mean if you lose. That's I'm saying if you lose that.
Oh, yeah, if you lose to the Minnesota, then yes, Minnesota. Then it's done, right? You've got to win to get the tiebreaker.
Yeah, if you're going to be locked in, if you can't catch it because it's – it's a couple of games you would need them to throw, basically, then fighting tooth and nail down the stretch to get the two rather than the three doesn't make that big of a difference.
But here's the thing, though, too, is like Oklahoma City's got a pretty brutal schedule to close out the season.
Yes.
Like they're, it's tough for them. So, like, if I'm the Nuggets, like, man, I think the number one seed is right there in your grasp. Like, I think you basically, you should get the number one seed. All you have to do, really, what it really hinges on is will you take care of business against Minnesota in those two games. If you can do that, if you win those two games against Minnesota, I'm very confident they're going to end up as the one seed. So yeah, like I'm with you. I would not play Jamal against Memphis. Like you don't need to.
Right.
You know, probably play Joker just because I think he's
Play Joker to make sure it happens and so you don't wear more Aaron Gordon out.
Right. Exactly.
Like, if Najee was, it could even play.
But yeah, he's already ruled out. Aaron so
to sit. But right. he can't. So.
Yeah, so Najee's already out. So, yeah, I mean, yep. I think you probably can still be fine letting Jamal say, especially as Colin Gillespie's going to play like he did in that Portland game. You know, that's perfectly fine what Colin Gillespie gave you as your point guard off the bench. And that was perfectly fine what Reggie Jackson gave you as your starting point guard. So if you can get through that with those two guys, you know, then you got Jamal for your national TV game against Phoenix on Wednesday. And yep. And you can finish out the rest of this homestand. That really, I mean, it puts, if you can do that, and obviously the big one being, you know, the Timberwolves game, if you can win the Timberwolves game and you can win the Grizzlies game, then okay, fine. If you lose the Suns game or if you lose the Cavs game on Easter, then like whatever, like that's not that big of a deal. But you've got to get that Timberwolves game, and you've got to get at least, I guess, two of the other three. And we'll talk about those games a little bit more here later in the show. But I would absolutely be okay with resting Jamal against the Grizzlies. And if you have to rest him against the Suns, like, just make sure he's ready for the Minnesota Timberwolves game. That's the one you need him for.
Yeah, you've got to have it. And so, yeah, like I said, if the situation is very fluid right now, goal is grab the number one seed. If that changes over the next week or so, you know, after the Minnesota game and the Suns game, if you do something and you don't, and it doesn't come out your way, you start looking at what games can I give guys off, because it is more important,
right,
to like have those guys healthy and ready than it is that we have a home game. We have one more home game against the Timberwolves. The Nuggets are going to have their hands full with that team either way, but that's not the main concern. The main concern is, can all my guys get there healthy?
Right. Like, yeah, you got to get in there healthy.
The home court's not going to help if Jamal's out and you're playing Reggie Jackson to start.
Right.
Like, you need Jamal in those games. That's the important part.
100%. All right, so looking at that schedule and what we've got left, Nuggets have 11 games left, 50 and 21 right now. So I'm going to throw this at you, Gordon. The franchise record is 57 wins in a regular season. The Nuggets will need to go 8-3 down the stretch of the last 11 games to set the franchise record. Where's your confidence level at right now with the possibility of the Nuggets doing that?
I think they probably do it if they get the one seed.
Yeah. Yeah, because
those are connected to me. Like, I could see them throw in the all-time team wins record, honestly, if they are not going to get the one seed, because you prioritize the health we were talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that's way more important. The Nuggets still remember the Utah Jazz looking awesome with Rudy Gobert in the regular season and then not working out in the playoffs. Like, regular season records are great. Playoff success matters more.
100%. I think, though, when you look at it just from a will they do it standpoint, so they have five games left against teams with winning records, right? So six games against teams with losing records.
Yep.
They've got two, they only have four road games left at Utah, and then they finish up with at San Antonio and at Memphis, two terrible teams. Utah, not terrible, but not very good. So you can, you know, the only really difficult road game left on the schedule is at the Clippers here in about a week or so. Then you've got, of course, the two home games against the Timberwolves, and then you've got really, really this week. We'll have a much better idea when we talk next week. We'll have a much better idea about whether or not they're going to pull this off, because this week, you know, they've basically got four games, three of them against teams with winning records, all at home. If you come out 4-0 out of that, you know, and then that means you pick up one of those games against the Timberwolves, and now suddenly you're like, they only need to go 4-3 down the stretch. Then of course, like at that point, you're gonna think they're going to win. Even if they come out 3-1, and again, if one of those games is the Timberwolves, because I agree with you, they're gonna want to have to secure the one seed to probably care about who they, you know, to care about that Grizzlies game. But if they get, you know, even if they go 3-1, say they lose to the Cavaliers or the Suns or even the Grizzlies, in this week, and you go 3-1, you're still 53 wins with seven games to go. You've 5-2 in the final seven. And when that final seven is the Spurs twice, the Grizzlies, the Timberwolves, the Hawks, the Jazz, and the Clippers, like, you could lose the game to the Clippers and the Timberwolves and just beat the five shit teams and you'd have it. You know what I mean? So,
right. Yeah, I hear you.
It's going to be interesting to see. I think it would be cool for them to do it. You know, like, that just one more feather in Jokic's cap, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Put it up at 58, you know, wins, 59 wins. Like, yeah. See what happens. And as long as the Nuggets are going into the playoffs healthy and whatever, then yes, like, go for the record. If you need to rest guys and it's going to cost you the record, rest guys. Like, I think the Nuggets can absolutely do it, but I think the only reason that they do it is if they need to push, and the only reason they need to push is if the one seed is right there for them. And right now it is there, so right now you prioritize it.
Right.
If something bad happens, then you don't spend the last, like, week of the season trying to chase all wins to get the record.
Right, yeah.
You spend the last week of the season getting your guys ready.
Yeah.
And if the wins happen, they happen. But if they don't, you're not like, oh, God, we didn't get the wins record.
Right. That's the funny thing is they could rest some guys and still end up getting there just because
they,
like,
could still get it. Yeah.
The last week and a half of the season is not exactly a murderer's row.
It's pretty cake, of opponents. Man.
Right. Right.
Well, I say cake, but, like, they still have to, like, the Nuggets don't take cake, you know.
Well, so but here's the interesting thing is, especially, again, if they get through this week with a winning record, is
right.
You start looking at, okay, well, who do they got left, you know, and a lot of the teams there are totally just trying to get to the end of the season, into the Spurs and, yes, and the Jazz and the Grizzlies. You've got that Clippers game at the Clippers, but at that point, the Clippers are going to be pretty much locked into the four seed. Like, it doesn't look like,
yeah,
you know, they're right now, they're basically, well, I shouldn't say that. The Pelicans are right on their ass. But the Pelicans just lost Brandon Ingram. So it'll depend on that. Like, Clippers will be,
yeah, Yeah, that's true enough.
Where will they still be trying to fight off New Orleans? But especially if you pick up the win against Phoenix, you know, Clippers have a good week. Like, you could,
right? If you down Phoenix, like, that helps you against the Clippers. You don't need that game anymore.
Right. You could suddenly see the Clippers being, you know, 3 or 4 games up on New Orleans or Phoenix, and then.
But even if they're not,
being like, still four LA games back of Minnesota.
LA's home record is not exactly the greatest home record in the league. Like, they're not an unstoppable force. Like, they're 5-5 in their last 10. They're fine, but right. They don't necessarily match up well with Denver. Although there is the LA nightlife to consider.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But, you know, on a Thursday, I think they'll be all right. Like, you fly in on a Wednesday. This is not weekend party town, LA.
Well,
like,
there's stuff to do.
Can handle a Thursday. There's I stuff know to it's do. LA. There's always right. something to do in LA. I understand.
It's not Denver where Thursday right. everything's closed at 9 p.m.
10 o'clock. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, but I mean, so it'll be interesting to see. I think where they're at. Come when we're on the show here. Next week. Looking at this week, though, I don't really have much to say about the Grizzlies. They're a terrible team. They're
cursed. They're a cursed team.
They're cursed. Well, you know, I'm not gonna shed too many tears for the Grizzlies and Ja Morant, but you know, that's a take care of business game. The Nuggets should like we said, maybe if you rest Jamal for it, but otherwise you need to just kind of take care of business and move on with that one. Yep. Then you get the Phoenix Suns.
It's the two back-to-backs. Yeah, it's the Suns and the Timberwolves for sure.
And you get – well, and then even the Cavaliers there on Easter is not an easy matchup. Like, so – but starting with that Suns team, like, they should buy – they are healthy right now, which the Nuggets really have not got Phoenix yet this season healthy. What – like, where is your concern level at of, like, okay, they've got Beal, they've got Durant, they've got Booker, they've got Nurkic – you know, their full lineup is ready to go. And Phoenix beat or one of the two teams to beat the Nuggets after the All-Star break. So, like, is that to me, I somewhat like feel like I'm not even like concerned with that game. Like, I'm like, oh, that'll just be a win. It's Phoenix at home. But maybe there should be more concern because we should be getting their full force. And Phoenix right now is like playing for their life. Like, they are trying to stay out of the play-in desperately. With Sacramento and Dallas right now. So they should not be given none of it's a vanilla game or anything like that. They should be very much trying to win.
But also the fact that the Nuggets just blew this game in humiliating fashion by giving up that 22-1 run or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that the Nuggets have that fresh enough. That's not like 4 months ago. That is, hey, remember when you guys puked it up on the floor against the Phoenix Suns? Don't do that again. So I think in that sense, like, I'm not worried about the Nuggets not coming prepared to the Phoenix game.
That's fair.
As for how good Phoenix is, like, yeah, I think they're definitely better when they're healthy. I mean, who isn't?
Right.
But I guess I'm not overly concerned. Like, Bradley Beal is helping them run the offense now, which is great. He's had a bunch of assists recently as he becomes like the dominant on ball guy, which allows Beal and KD to move off ball a little more. But that said, they don't really provide something that Denver can't handle. You've got Nurkic, obviously. He's probably going to try to foul out again.
Right.
Cause it's always a Super Bowl when he's playing, you know, the Nuggets. But all he knows how to do is, you know, try to beat up Nikola. So unless he can contain that habit, like, the Nuggets are going to get him in foul trouble again because Nikola is just better. So I'm not overly concerned. But I could see the Nuggets dropping that game. It's in Phoenix. Like, the Suns are healthy. But if you asked me if they were going to drop it, I would say no.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. Like, I don't know. Like, Bradley Beal is doing a better job of distributing the ball. That offense is still so based on just those guys taking turns, in one and done passes. You know, I'm not overly concerned about Phoenix again. Like you said too, like Yusuf Nurkic, is a guy who we've seen time and again. Like people act like Nurkic gives Jokic trouble. He doesn't. He just, you know, like it gets really aggressive and then ends up drawing a bunch of fouls. And so for like 5 minutes of the 30 that he ends up playing, like, yeah, he's giving Jokic, you know, a hard time. But the other 25 minutes, like, he's trying to get himself back into rhythm because he's been in and out of the lineup so much. And then he, like I said, he only ends up playing like 30 or so minutes a game because, he can't stay out of foul trouble. So I know, you know, the Suns, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Kevin Durant is still, as we saw the last time they played, he's still a guy who can 100% win you a basketball game on his own, as is Devin Booker. And that's how they won two games in the playoff series last year, right? Is they just shot the lights out.
Correct.
They can still absolutely do that, and they could still absolutely make a Nuggets series go, you know, 5-6 games. But I just don't don't see them as a team that like that is gonna be able to figure out Denver in the playoffs. And I think it's a tall order to ask them to win a game in Denver here this late in the season, particularly if they're not on the back to back, but they are on a travel there from San Antonio. So, you know, you're in the middle of a long road trip, and now you got to go into Denver and win a game. I anticipate that the Nuggets will win that one.
Well, and more than that, like the Suns are like, well, who we've been playing? Well, they've been playing like the Hawks, the Sixers, the Spurs, the Hornets, the Spurs again tomorrow. Like, these are not the teams where you're like, oh, I have to, like, you know, handle my business, or the San Antonio Spurs might take me out.
Right.
Like, they've been playing bottom feeders to get in rhythm, which is great, but none of that preps them for the Nuggets, and their only loss in their last 5 or 6 is the Bucks, who do have a real team,
right,
and took it to the Suns. Well, so I kind of expect that kind of thing again.
Even basically from the All-Star break, like they've had Phoenix has a pretty good record, but the game against the Nuggets and then they won in Cleveland. Those are like the only two notable wins. Every other time, they lost both of the games against Boston. They lost against the Thunder. They lost against the Bucks, like you said. So, like, anytime they've played,
they would have lost against the Nuggets, and except that the Nuggets, like, spit the bit.
Right.
So, like, and now the Nuggets are at home with a chance for revenge. I don't think Phoenix can come into Denver and take that game when it matters to Denver, which it will at that point.
Right. So that sets you up for that rematch then on on Friday night with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now what will become the next biggest game of the season, obviously tiebreaker on the line again. If the Nuggets lose, then the Timberwolves will get the tiebreaker. Last time we played Minnesota, they were missing all of their bigs. They should hopefully have, I think, what's their injuries at right now, but they're, it should, I think, have most of those guys back. They're not going to have Karl Anthony Towns back, but they should have, I think, the rest of those guys back. Yeah, it's Naz Reid and Rudy Gobert are not listed on the injury report anymore.
Right.
So there's a good chance that we're going to more or less, you know, we'll see what happens with Karl Anthony Towns. I don't know that he's going to be back. Certainly not in the first round, but I don't know if he'll be back in the playoffs at all. Torn meniscus, that's a tough thing to get back from. You know, it's what sidelined Joel Embiid as well. Before otherwise, for the most part, you're going to get the full strength of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Are you concerned because, like, the Nuggets, it was a tough win in Minnesota when they basically had none of their, when they started Kyle Anderson at center against Nikola Jokic? Like, does this now, do you think this is a game that the Nuggets potentially could lose, maybe would even be considered an underdog for? Or does that home court advantage kind of make up for the fact that they're not going to be getting such a half rostered Minnesota team?
Well, this is, I expect this game to be the game that both teams, like, bare knuckle brawl in the parking lot. This is going to be a very, very hard fought game.
Yeah.
The Suns game, I'm not that pressed about it. The Grizzlies game, I figure they should be able to handily win that even without Murray. The Timberwolves game, both teams know the stakes. Both teams know that this is potentially for home court, you know, throughout the Western Conference playoffs and potentially throughout the whole playoffs, because both teams are better than the second best team in the East by a significant margin, right? Like the Bucks are what, 4 games back of the Nuggets right now?
Yeah, something like
so
that.
So if the Celtics don't win the East, every other team, if the West winds up with 57-58 wins as the, you know, the number one seed, each, like, the West is going to host it no matter what. So this is a very big deal for home court, not just for the West, but for the whole title. So both teams know what's at stake. You want to be the number one seed. And if you're not the number one seed, you still want this matchup, because the Nuggets and Wolves are most likely to be 2-3 if they wind up splitting games while OKC takes off without it. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're playing at a 2-3 against Minnesota, you'd like it to be in Denver. Same with Minnesota. They want it to be in Minnesota. You know, that is a second-round matchup. So I think both teams are going to come out just on fire. Like, if you want to know what a pre-playoff, like, you know, Western Conference championship looks like, this is what it's going to look like.
This is the game. Yeah, and I imagine that the Nuggets will approach it that way as well. I think, you know, this is a time where they may only play 8 guys in that rotation.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And they, you know, I expect the crowd to be in it big time. And it's a game that, like I said, the Denver needs. I mean, they've got a point to prove, I think, still against Minnesota. The fact that you were barely able to beat that team when they were so injured. And then you still have the loss at the beginning of the season to them. The fact that, like, this team has more or less basically, I mean, not here in the last week or so, but basically been the top team in the Western Conference pretty much throughout the season here until this very end. Like, you've got an opportunity to really kind of show on, and it's on NBA TV, so not quite national TV, but you've got a chance to show kind of the whole league, like, hey, no, the Nuggets are still the top team in the league. And I think you've got a chance too, if it doesn't work out or it ends up being a tough game, like, it gives you an opportunity then to make adjustments like you would in a playoff series when you play them again next week. So, like, I expect them, yeah, like you said, I think this is a game that comes out with high playoff intensity. I think the Nuggets are going to see a lot of their both teams' hands shown on how they want to approach these teams in the playoffs. I think the Nuggets are going to see a lot of Aaron Gordon on Anthony Edwards, and they'll basically just kind of live with Michael Porter Jr., you know, covering Naz Reid or whoever is going to stack up next to Rudy Gobert. I think you're going to see a lot of Jamal Murray trying to attack Mike Conley and try and get the offense going to take away Rudy Gobert and his defense somewhat. So it's going to be it's a game that I'm excited to see. I think, like I said too, it's one that you really finally, we haven't been able to read anything into these games so far against Minnesota, because, you know, the first one was way back at the beginning of the year. I think that I just run a back to back or something like that. It was not really very representative of where we're at now in the season. And then last game with Minnesota missing all their bigs, it was kind of one that you really couldn't take any major takeaways from. So this was the game to watch and see, like, how is this team going to stack up in the playoffs, and how do these two teams approach each other in that matchup. And like you said, it could very well be a Western Conference Finals preview. So it's a shame it's only on NBA TV. The NBA dropped the ball on that one, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what they were thinking, especially since this is the test run, right, for the Timberwolves.
Right.
Like, they were built to stop this Nuggets team. They were constructed by the guy who constructed this Nuggets team with the idea of stopping this Nuggets team. Like, this is the time where you have to try to figure out the adjustments that you were talking about. Like, do we know how we want to play them when it matters? can we beat them so that we can get home court so that it's easier for us when it matters? Like, right. this game means a lot to the Timberwolves. It means a lot to the Nuggets. It means a lot to both teams, and they're going to have to fight it out. Like I said, I expect a very serious game. I hope we don't get a – I hope we have good rest for this. Let's put it that way. I hope we don't have some kind of ref shenanigans, because this game deserves the best the NBA has to offer it.
100%. All right, and then the Nuggets, they close it out this week. They will be on Easter Day game, 1:30 tip against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland, one of those teams, you know, we don't talk much about when we talk about the Eastern Conference, right? We talk a lot about Boston. We talk a lot about Milwaukee. Cleveland right there in the three seed right now. They're basically in a virtual tie, essentially, with the Knicks. Magic right there in the mix as well. But, you know, the Cleveland got the better of the Nuggets earlier this season. And, you know, a team that very well, like, they've got some players. Like Donovan Mitchell is a guy who's been in the playoffs, knows what it takes to win in the playoffs, hasn't been able to get it, you know, get a really deep run, hasn't been to a conference finals yet. So that's probably something that he's looking to add to his resume with this opportunity. If you see a Cleveland team in the finals, you know, say that's the team that works it out and gets through, like, where does that match up? Because I honestly think, like, Cleveland's probably one of the teams I would rather not see in the finals. Like, I would much, honestly, as crazy as it sounds, I would much rather see Boston than I would see Cleveland in the finals.
You are smoking some very serious nonsense right now. Like, I appreciate the setup, but also I need you to put down the shrooms and come back from your trip. Because, no. That is a...
No, but like, listen, the Cleveland is the team with the size. They've got Jared Allen. They've got Evan Mobley. They've got Tristan Thompson off the bench. Like, Boston, like, I've seen Kristaps Porzingis against Jokic. I'm not concerned. You know, like, I Boston, like, you're going to throw Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown out as your forwards. You're going to play two point guards in your backcourt. Like, the Boston is too small for to be a challenge for the Nuggets. Whereas Cleveland, I'm not convinced that Cleveland is not too small. I mean, like, you know, you start thinking about, like, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen next to each other. Like, that's a pretty good two guys to throw at Aaron Gordon and Nikola Jokic. Or you can even put Caris LeVert on Aaron Gordon and then use that length of Evan Mobley on Michael Porter Jr., and then you're down to, you know, Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. Like, I don't know. I think that's a tough matchup for the Nuggets.
To me, I do not agree, and that's partly because I watched the Cavs, like, get demolished by the Heat and also beaten by the Heat and also beaten by the Timberwolves. Like, their size has not been impactful against bigger teams. And it has not been impactful against smaller teams recently. And I know that there's some other stuff going on.
But Mitchell's out right now. So, like, how much can you really read into this run?
I know. It's tough. It's tough to tell what's going on. But Mitchell is – and again, Mitchell can shoot the lights out. Like, I understand that, you know, Donovan in the playoffs, in the bubble, was excellent. But Donovan has never gone anywhere. Like –
right.
He's never gone anywhere.
He's also been saddled with – yeah, because he's been saddled with Rudy Gobert. Like that – you know, I mean, granted, they didn't do much last year, but last year they were pretty hurt. So it's you know
– I guess I'm just not seeing how this Cleveland team is better than the Utah teams that he was on. So
– yeah, I mean, well, I think you're – underselling Cleveland's depth here a little bit. I think they've got a little bit better roster built around Donovan. But, you know, yeah, sure, you could make that argument that they're not it's not terribly different. But I don't know. I'm just saying from a matchup standpoint, that team gives me more concerns than Boston does. That's my hot take for the pod.
They ain't been there. I don't think they're that well coached. They're fine, but I think Cleveland has another step to take before they get really dangerous, and I don't know if they have the time to take it. But, I mean, we'll find out. you know, I just I'm not as impressed by Cleveland's matchup ability with the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
I don't think they have anybody that Jokic would ever fear. Nor that they have anybody who can keep up with what Denver can do. So the way that Denver attacks, Cleveland doesn't necessarily have a defense for, and Denver's guards are better defenders than Cleveland's guards. So, like, Denver's bench guards are better defenders than Cleveland's bench guards. So where are you better than the Nuggets? Like, yes, you have size, but is your size going to outweigh Aaron Gordon, MPJ, and Jokic on the boards? I don't think so.
Yeah, so, I mean,
like, unless you can control the boards against the Nuggets, and you can find ways to like score that they can't score, you know, then that's fine. But I don't think that the Cavaliers can stop Jokic from getting to where he wants to get on the court to take the shots and or run the offense. And I don't think in a shooting contest I'm concerned about over seven games that I'm concerned about Donovan versus Jamal. I think we've already seen how that goes. And if they cancel each other out, the Nuggets are still the better team.
Yeah. So what happened right in that game against Cleveland that the Nuggets lost early in the season is they got Jokic into foul trouble. And I think that that could potentially still be a problem because you have two bigs who you know are going to be aggressive on the glass and who are going to be aggressive with Jokic in general, try and get him frustrated. You know, that I can see being a problem. It'd just be interesting to see. I think it's just interesting to me. We don't really talk about Cleveland, who by and large has been the third best team, in the East for the entire season. You know, them and New York have basically been 3-4 for the whole season. So, you know, it's as we saw last year in the playoffs, like anybody could come out of the East. Like it's not a guarantee.
That is a true story.
In any way that Boston's going to be the team.
And Cleveland has as good a shot as anybody, who's probably going to have home court in the East has.
Right.
Like, I understand that the Celtics are far and away the best regular season team, but we've seen what happens to the Celtics when they get variance in their shooting. And, you know, as far as scoring goes, the Cavs have the ability to put up some points. The Bucks look good. The Knicks are interesting.
The Knicks would be I would not want to play the Knicks if they have Mitchell Robinson back. Like that's
what I'm saying.
That makes them to me a much worse matchup for the Nuggets. Now, granted, I mean, I've seen Jokic eat Mitchell Robinson alive, but like you put him and Hartenstein together, two guys who you can throw into the game and basically be like, your only job is to just body Nikola Jokic. Like that's really the only thing you're there to do. That I think can could give the Nuggets some problems. It'd be interesting to see. The one team I know who doesn't have the size to hang with them in the East, though, is Boston. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about the finals matchup if that's the way it goes. All right, we will go ahead and we will close out the show there. Make sure you guys are following us on Twitter. I'm at Zach Migush. Gordon is at G Money Nugs. Follow at Denver Stiffs and at Mile High Sports. We will be down this Friday at number 38 again for another Stiffs Night Out. You guys know the drill. Live post game podcast, a jersey giveaway, as well as some other giveaways. Great drink specials on, I think it's like $15 pitchers, which is always, you can't beat that, right? And then some great food as well. That will be that Minnesota game, that all important Minnesota game that we've been talking about. So make sure you guys come down to number 38 and Rhino, hang out with us and watch the game, and hopefully watch the Nuggets start to put themselves majorly in the driver's seat for that number one seed in the West. Mr. Gross, it is a pleasure as always, sir.
Yeah, and hopefully the Nuggets, I'm thinking, what, 3-1 this week?
3-1. I feel like 3-1 is a fairly safe bet. I'm with you on that one. All right, everybody, we will talk to you next week.